Back to our series on Divrei Hayamim Aleph, and today we study Perek Yud Bet, Chapter 12. As usual, our shiurim are sponsored with the help of the Cypress Foundation in conjunction with the Tanakh Study Center, www.tanakh.org. In Chapter 12, we find once again a list of military heroes, very similar to what we found in Chapter 11. And the question arises, when one studies Nachyomi, what can we gain from the study of this type of Perek? If someone was conducting a study of ancient military history, or if someone was conducting a study of ancient Hebrew names, then this chapter would be definitely very interesting. But other than that, it seems to be once again a list of names, which we found many times in Divrei Hayamim. In fact, up until this point, other than chapter 10, every single chapter has been primarily a list of names. We noticed, however, that the names through chapter 9 were genealogies, and now in chapter 11 and 12, we find names of military heroes. But the question is going to be, why is the author of Divrei Hayamim quoting from ancient lists of military heroes from some 500 years back from the time of David? Up until now, our overall approach was that the author of Divrei Hayamim has a prophetic agenda more than just writing down history. And if he's going to include or quote from an earlier previous list, it must have something to do with the time period that he's living in. This phenomena that the authors of the prophetic books quote from earlier documents and earlier prophets is something we find in many books. Already in the book of Sefer Shoftim, written by the Navi Shmuel, we find that Shmuel quotes from many earlier works, like the Song of Devorah, and many earlier stories, in order to make his prophetic point. We find that Yirmiyahu, when he writes Sefer Melachim, also quotes from the works of earlier Nevi'im, be it Yishayahu, or the stories about Eliyahu and Elisha, or from the time of Natan HaNavi. And in order to make his prophetic point about the reason for the destruction of the first temple, he's going to quote from those earlier Nevi'im in order to make his prophetic point. We saw the same thing when we studied Sefer Shmuel, that the author who put together the book of Shmuel was quoting from the works of Shmuel, Natan, and Gad. In a similar manner, the religious leaders of the Second Temple period, when they're composing Divrei Hayamim, have a prophetic agenda. And if they're going to quote these lists of names, it must relate in some way to what's happening at their time. We explained that the quote of the first 9 chapters of genealogies relates to the question of who's a Jew and the terrible problem of intermarriage that Ezra and Nehemiah both faced. However, that would not explain the reason for quoting military heroes from the time of David in chapters 11 and 12. In our shiur on chapter 11, we suggested that maybe this is reminiscing glorious times of the past when we had an army and we were sovereign, and now in the beginning of the Second Temple period, we're reminiscing and wishing if we could only be like people were back then. However, in relation to chapter 12, I think there's a very easier explanation. Chapter 12 is going to divide into 2 very distinct sections. One, a list of warriors who joined David when he was running away from Shaul. That's going to be from Sukim Aleph to Chaf Gimel, from verses 1 to 23. And then from Pasach Chaf Dalet, from verse 24 to the end of the chapter, we're going to find a list of all the military men who joined David when he becomes king over all of Israel and Hebron. As we're going to see throughout our study of Divrei Hayamim, recording the history of the past is supposed to supply inspiration for the people of the Second Temple period. And these are simply not stories of what happened in the past, but stories how groups of people banded together and were able to gain tremendous achievements. If we turn to our study of the prophets of that time period, the works of Haggai and Zechariah, the Nevot of Haggai definitely reflect a situation where the people were very passive and not taking initiative. And in the Nevot of Zechariah, we're going to see that there seems to be an underlying problem of lack of trust and hatred among brethren. In his opening words in the first chapter of Haggai, he rebukes the people for their apathy and lack of taking any initiative in rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, and afterwards encourages them and gives them hope that if they take that initiative, God will be with them. However, the main source that I would like to quote is from Zechariah Perek Zayin, from chapter 7 and 8 in the book of Zechariah. When the people came to Zechariah and asked him whether or not they should continue fasting on Tisha B'Av, in a very lengthy answer, I'd like to quote one specific pasuk from Zechariah, where he explains to the people precisely what is it that God wants them to do in order that the redemption in the Second Temple period become complete. In Perek Chet in Zechariah, chapter 8, pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Eila advarim asher tasu, here Zechariah could not be more specific, these are the things that God wants you to do. Dabru emet ish et ra'eu. Speak truth, one man to his neighbor. Emet mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharichem. And then he continues. V'ish et ra'at ra'eu al takshavu b'vavchem. And people should not think evil thoughts about the fellow man. Ushmat sheker al tahavu. And don't swear falsely. Kad ko eila sher sanetinu mashem. This is what God hates. Now a Navi who wants to rebuke his people could definitely find a lot of other important topics in Judaism to talk about. But it seems from this specific rebuke that there's an underlying problem during this time period of a lack of fraternity and trust. So now as we begin our study of chapter 12, we're going to focus specifically on that topic to show how that emerges as an underlying theme throughout this chapter. Let's begin with Pasuk Aleph, one phrase at a time. Ve'en ha'baim el David le'tziklag. These are the men who come to David when David is hiding out in the city of Tziklag. Tziklag is a city in the southern part of Israel. At that time it was under Plishti control. That area was given to David by Achish Melech Gat, who trusted in David, and even later, as we'll see, brought him along to battle against Shaul. David was safe staying in Tziklag, and anyone who wanted to defect from Shaul's army and felt that David is going to be the next king, they left the army and joined David and his men in Tziklag. Od Atzur, David is still being held back, Bipnei Shaul Ben Kish. He's in Tziklag and he can't go out in public. He's still in hiding in the city of Tziklag. The word Atzur we also find in the book of Yirmiyahu, when Yirmiyahu in chapter 36, in Pasuk Hei, in verse 5, he's commanded to write a Megillat Sefer and read it in public in the Beit HaMikdash. He explains to his scribe, to Baruch Ben Neriah, he tells him, Ani Atzur lo uchal lavo Beit Hashem. I'm held back and I can't go to God's house because if I go out in public, I'll be arrested. The following list of warriors are going to be some of the greatest men of war. The next pasuk will describe how great they are. Noshkei keshet mayminim umasmilim bavanim uvachitzim bakashet. These men are archers who can shoot arrows both with the right hand and with the left hand. Me'achei Shaul mibinyamin. And these warriors who join him in Tziklag are from the friends of Shaul from the tribe of Binyamin. Even in the tribe of Binyamin, we find men of the army who defected from Shaul's army to David's army. This phenomena we find quite often in the army when soldiers are very dedicated to their commander. And before the rivalry began, when David was one of Shaul's top commanders, there were many soldiers under his command who developed a very strong connection with him. As David extends his military actions in the area of the south, many of his old men, even from the tribe of Shaul, from the tribe of Benjamin, come and join him in Tziklag. Not only do they want to be with their former general, it seems like they have a feeling that sooner or later David is going to take over. From Pasuk Gimel through Pasuk Tet, we find a list of these men. Harosh Achi Ezer v'Yoash b'nei Hashma'a ha'givati, v'Zi'el v'Felet b'nei Hazmavet u'Bracha v'Yehu ha'Natoti. The leader of this group, his name was Achi Ezer, and then we have an entire list of names all the way into Pasuk Tet. These were the men who joined him from the tribe of Binyamin. And starting in Pasuk Tet, Umin ha'Gadi, from the tribe of God, Niptulu David, Lametzad Midbara, Gibore Achayo, Anshei Tzava le'Melchama, Orchei Tzina v'Romach, In addition to those who joined him from the tribe of Binyamin, another group comes from the tribe of God, but they don't join David in Tziklag, like the men from Binyamin. They joined David in his fortress when he was hiding in Midbar Yehuda, in the Judean desert, in a place called Metzad. Ufnei aryeh pinehem, their faces were like the faces of lions. V'chitzvaim al ha'arim lamaher, yet they were quick and swift like gazelles on the mountains when they would run. On a technical note, it makes sense that the people from the tribe of God are joining David in Midbar Yehuda in his fortress called Metzad, because Shevet Gad is on the other side of the Jordan River. And if you're going to join David, it makes sense they would join David when he's hiding out in the eastern part of Yehuda. It's also interesting that the famous archaeological site known as Metzada is found in the Judean desert for a very similar reason, because the main highway that used to connect Hebron, the capital city of Yehuda, and the area of Moab, where David's family is from, would go from Hebron through Nahal Arugot and cross the Dead Sea a little south of En Gedi. Most of you are familiar with the fact that the Dead Sea is very, very deep up until the area of En Gedi Metzada, but south of Metzada, it's very shallow, maybe a meter or so, and that's it. There were times in history the entire southern part of the Dead Sea didn't have water at all, and it made a very good land crossing between Yehuda and Moab. Building a Metzuda, building a fortress overlooking the crossing point, and it could be the Metzad of today would be very similar to the Metzad that David is hiding out in the desert. We also know that he puts his parents for safekeeping in the land of Moab. And there's even archaeological finds on Metzad itself from the early First Temple period time. We're not claiming that this Metzad is exactly Metzad of today, but it very well could be a place very similar to Metzada in a very similar terrain. And anyone who's familiar with the roughness and the ruggedness of that area can easily understand why David would hide out in a place like that, and there he would be very safe from being chased by Shaul. From Pasuk Yud through Pasuk Yud Dalad, we have a list of these 12 men, Ezer HaRosh, Obadiah HaSheni, Eliav HaShlishi. One by one we get all their names. And then in Pasuk 15 we have a summary of these men, Ela Bibnei Gad, Rashi HaTzava. These are the warriors who came from the tribe of God, the leaders of the army. Echad Lemea HaKatan, V'Agadol Aleph. The smallest of them would be worthy to be an officer over 100, and the greatest of these 11 men, is worthy of being an officer over 1,000. The commanders in the army, which would be parallel nowadays to a battalion commander, would be Sar Elef. A company commander would be a Sar Me'ah, commander over 100. And a platoon commander would be equivalent to a Sari Asarot. So these men, even though they were individuals, they were so great that they had the ability to be officers over a large army. When they defected, David's army was very small. First he had 400 men and then 600 men in Ziklag. Later he develops a much bigger army. But these men capable of being big officers in Shaul's army instead go to David and join him in the desert. Then we have one short story about these men. In an earlier time, these brave soldiers, they were able to cross the Jordan River in the spring, in the first month in Nisan, when it was full of water. They were able to chase away all the enemies of Israel who had come and attacked in the valleys. It could be Emek HaYarden, Emek Beit Shan. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayavoh min b'nei Binyamin v'Yehuda ad l'mitzad l'David. Another group from Binyamin and Yehuda come meet David in Mitzad. Vayitzei David lifnehem. David now is not sure whether he can trust them or not, because it could be that these men are being sent secretly by Shaul in order to capture him. And if David accepts them, one night they might sneak up and capture David and bring him back to Shaul. David wants to make sure that he can trust them. Vayan vayomer lehem. He answers them when they approach him and he tells them, Im l'shalom batam elai lazreini. If you're coming to help me in peace, Yali alechem levav liyachad. I'm one heart with you. In other words, I trust you. We can work together. Vim l'ramotani l'tzarai. If you're coming to trick me, to turn me over to my enemies, Baruch hamas b'chapai. There's no reason for that because I've done nothing wrong. I have not been corrupt. Yere Elohei avoteinu v'yochach. Let the God of our forefathers see this. And let him be the judge between us if I've done anything wrong. In other words, David's saying, if I deserve to be turned over to Shaul, there must be something I've done wrong. David's saying, I've done nothing wrong. I'm not rebelling. Shaul may think I'm rebelling, but really, I've been loyal to him all the time. Here, David shows his total faith in God, and also the faith in his righteousness that he's doing the proper thing. In response to David's offer, the leader, named Amasai, answers as follows, V'ruach lafshat Amasai rosh ha-shloshim, Lecha David v'imcha ben Ishai, Shalom shalom lecha, v'shalom lo'ozrecha, He answers the call and tells David, we're coming to you in peace because God has helped you. They also show their trust in God. David accepts them and makes them leaders of his battalion. In Pasuk Chaf, we find another group that came to David from the tribe of Menashe. And this is the group that came a bit later on when David is about to go to war with the Plishtim against Shaul. Recall from the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, in the battle before Shaul meets his death, the five princes of the Plishtim join together. Achish, the king of Gath, brings David with him, thinking that David will help the Plishtim against Shaul. The other princes of the Plishtim are very wary of David, and they tell Achish, what better way could David buy his way back into Shaul's army and build his faith back with the people if he would turn over the Plishtim over to Shaul? Therefore, they don't trust David, and they send him back home. David.
When David came with the Plishtim to fight against Shaul, why didn't he help the Plishtim in the end?
Because when they decided together, the princes of the Plishtim, the Sarnei Plishtim, when they discussed whether or not they should take David with them in battle,
Shehu Sarnei Plishtim lemor,
the princes of the Plishtim sent them away saying, Barashenu yipo al donav Shaul. He's going to take our heads and use them to return to his master Shaul. Now it's interesting that these warriors are coming from Menashe. Menashe is north of Ephraim. The battle that's about to take place is going to extend all the way to the Geboa. And the Geboa is a northern extension of the tribe of Menashe. We know that Israel loses that battle. And in the details of the battle, we're told that the men of Israel run away and the Plishtim take over that area. So if men of the army from the tribe of Menashe are running away at that time, it seems that they also see the writing on the wall. They see that they're outnumbered by the Plishtim. So instead of staying with Shaul and fighting with him, they abandoned Shaul's army at that time, and joined David and meet him in Ziklag.
Pasuk of Aleph explains the rest of the details. Belechto el Ziklag naflu alav b'Menashe.
When David went back to Ziklag after the Plishtim told him they can't join him, these men came to him from Menashe.
Adnach v'yozavad, v'da'el u'michael v'yozavad, v'elihu v'tzilti.
Roshei alafim asher l'Menashe. These were the battalion commanders who led the tribe of Menashe.
V'hema, these great men, azrum David alagdud, ki gbrei chayu kulam.
And they became big officers in the army. These groups that we described, a small example, are from time to time when people would come to David to help him until his camp From 400, then 600 men, they came to a very large camp of thousands of soldiers. They abandoned the regular army and joined David's army. So that ends the first half of the parak through Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We saw in the beginning of chapter 11, we describe when all of Am Yisrael comes to Hebron and accepts David and said, we knew all along you were going to be our leader. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. Ve'ele misperei roshei ha'chalutz la'tzava, bo al David Hebrona. These are the frontline soldiers of the army who came to David to Hebron. La'asev machut sho elav kifi Adonai. They were the ones who were going to help to turn the kingdom of Shaul to David, just as God had said. In other words, this pasuk is going to support what we said in the beginning of chapter 11, that the men of Israel finally began to realize the hand of God behind David's success. Now we're going to see all the tribes that come and join David at this time.
Bnei Yehuda nosei tzina v'romach, 6,800 u'shmona me'ot chalutzei tzava.
From Yehuda, 6,800 frontline men of the army.
Min bnei Shimon giborei chayol tzava, 7,000 u'mea.
7,100 from Shimon. Min bnei Halevi, 4,600 v'sheshmot. From the tribe of Levi, 4,600. Someone had asked, what of bnei Levi coming in the army? Their job was to work in the Beit HaMikdash. But the answer is exactly right here in this pasuk. Notice that all the other warriors from Yehudan, Shimon, are described about their military might. They're called Gibori Chayol Tzava. Bnei Levi are just mentioned their number, and it could be that they're joining. It could very well be that their job in the army is to be the religious leaders. Like in Israel's army today, we have a Rabbanut Tzvait. We have the rabbinate within the army. And then, after we mention the Levim, then we have the Kohanim, 3,700. Yoyada is their leader from the tribe of Aaron, but we don't mention their military might. They probably came here as religious leaders involved in the army as well. V'tzadok nar, most likely this is Tzadok the Kohen, who is with David, as described in Sefer Shmuel, a man of many abilities.
Ubeit Aviv Sarim Esimushnaim, and from his family, who were leadership family among the Kohanim, 22 men. Umin b'nei Binyamin, achei Shaul 3,000, and from the family of Shaul, from the tribe of Binyamin, another 3,000 men came. V'adhena marbitam shomrim mishmeret beit Shaul. These men, up until now, were loyal to the house of Shaul. Even after Shaul died, recall that Ishboshet, the son, took over.
And it took another 7 years after the death of Shaul until everyone accepted David. Now even the most loyal people to the house of Shaul are joining David when everyone comes together to make him king in Hebron.
Umin b'nei Ephraim esrim elef shmonimot gibor chayo anshei shemot levet avotam.
Now we return to the other tribes, the tribe of Ephraim, 22,800, described now as men of war.
Umichatzim atem menashe, 18,000, aleph, 18,000, asher nikvu b'shemot levo lamlicha David.
These 18,000 were chosen to join the coronation ceremony in Hebron.
Ubibnei Yisachar, yodei vina li'itim, that mayaseh b'Yisrael, and then from the tribe of Yisachar, and the tribe of Yisachar was known for the wisdom, making good predictions and knowing what would be in Israel. Rasheim matayim, v'chol achem alpiem, all their brethren from their tribe followed everything that these 200 men had to say.
Chazal understand that Yisachar was a tribe that dedicated to the study of Torah, what was called the Yisachar-Zvulun relationship. Yisachar studied and Zvulun did the work. One of the sources for that midrash is based on this pasuk, Yodei Bina Li'itim. They're the experts in Israel. According to some, they were the experts in astronomy and knowing how to organize the calendar.
In contrast to Bnei Yisachar, who known as men of wisdom, Pasuk Lamed Daled, verse 34, Mizvulun Yotzei Tzava, Orchei Mechama, B'chol Klei Mechama, 50 Aleph. Now we return to men of war, 50,000 army men from the tribe of Zvulun.
The last phrase in this sentence is very interesting.
V'la'ador B'lo Lev V'lev.
La'ador is not clear what it means. It seems to have some military implication. Possibly they were experts in military planning, or possibly similar to la'azor, like the help. The last phrase is the most important. Belo lev v'lev. Not with a double heart. When someone is using trickery, it's called in Hebrew, echad b'lev v'echad b'peh. There's one thing in your heart, what you think you want to do, and there's one thing in your mouth that you say. Therefore, these 50,000 soldiers were trustworthy, and they're belo lev v'lev. It's not that they say one thing in their mouth and do something else in their heart, but what they say they're going to do is what they really want to do. They can be trusted to follow whatever the leaders of the army want them to do. Accenting this point that the soldiers could trust one another fits into what we explained in the beginning, that one of the reasons that we're describing the soldiers in this manner is that not only all 12 tribes came together and worked in unison, but they also were working in a way that they weren't thinking and plotting against one another. But we quoted from Zechariah, Vish et rat reyu atachshuvu bavavchem. A person shouldn't think badly and plot against his fellow man. Here we have the opposite of that, people working together. And it could be that's the reason why Divrei Hayamim quotes specifically this description of these army men.
Pasuk Lamed Hei, verse 35, Umin Naphtali Sarim Aleph, 1,000 ministers or officers from the tribe of Naphtali. V'imahem b'tzina v'chanit 37,000. Min ha-dani, orchei ha-melchama, 28,600. 28,600 from the tribe of Dan. U'mi-asher yotzei tzava l'aruch melchama 40,000, and 40,000 from Asher. If you notice the order of the tribes, we begin from the south and work our way up north. We began with Yehuda and Shimon, then we went up to Levi and the Kohanim, then we went to Binyamin in Ephraim and Menashe, then we went to Yisachar and Zvulun, who are in Emek Israel, Yisachar on the eastern side, near the Kinneret in Emek Israel, and Zvulun on the western side, in the lower Galilee towards Haifa, and then we have Naphtali, the area of Tzfat, the northern Galilee, and Asher, the western side of the northern Galilee. If you look at the blessings of Moshe Rabbeinu in Vezot HaBracha, you'll find almost the identical order of Shvatim for the same reason. Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing the tribes that they be successful in their conquest of the land of Israel. And inheriting the land, he also begins with Yudan, Shimon, and then Levi, and then Binyamin, and then Bnei Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe, then Yisachar and Zvulun, followed by Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. Now we have to fill in the tribes from the other side of the Jordan River, the 2.5 tribes from Ever HaYarden. Pasuk Lamed Chet, verse 38, Umeever LaYarden, Min HaRuveni VaAgadi, VeChatzi Shevet Menashe, VeChol Klei Tzava Melchama, from the 2.5 tribes from the other side of the Jordan, 120,000 men of war. In Pasuk Lamatet, in verse 39, we begin the summary of all these men of war and all these important national leaders who come to make David king in Hebron. Here we describe their unity. With a full heart, they come to Hebron. To make David king over all of Israel. No one's using trickery here. There's unity, and the unity is sincere. Again, I'm pointing this out because this was the point I tried to make in the beginning of this year. What's being emphasized here is not only the unity and the initiative that everyone takes, but also how they can all trust one another, and everything they're doing is with a full heart. This was especially important to point out in the time of David because there was so much tension and civil war beforehand. Now there's true unity at that time. It seems like in the beginning of the Second Temple period, there's the same fear of this unity. Therefore, we're bringing stories from the First Temple period to inspire them, emphasizing the need for unity and everyone trusting one another and taking initiatives that should take place in Beit Sheni as well. And the remainder of Israel, they too were all with one heart to make David king. Another pasuk emphasizing the unity at that time. 3 days they came to Hebron celebrating with David, eating and drinking, the brethren in the tribe of Yehuda prepared the big feast to make David king. Not only did the people of Hebron in the area prepare this feast, also people from the other places came together with food to make the festivities even bigger. Even from the Galilee, people came and brought food. They brought it by donkey, they brought it by camel, they brought it by mule, they brought it with oxen, they brought flour, the velim, those are dried out figs, the tzimukim, raisins, dried out grapes, the yain, wine, the shemen, oil, these are all from the Shevaminim. Ubakar v'tzon l'rov. Why did everyone bring so much food for the celebration? Ki simcha b'Yisrael. Because there was rejoicing in Israel, there was tremendous unity, the civil war is over, our war with the Plishtim is over, we have a king, everyone trusts them, everyone trusts one another, and Israel begins a new era, which will be culminated by David HaMelech building the Beit HaMikdash, which will be the topic in chapter 13. Even though the details may be very tedious, and to mention names of great leaders, and to dedicate so much time to a list of leaders from 500 years ago, at the beginning of the Second Temple period, would seem rather strange, but based on the theme of Divrei Hayamim, and the need of the people to find inspiration in the words of the prophets, the book of Divrei Hayamim is going to recall the past in the hope that it will have an influence on their future.